Okay, that is Joni Mitchell and Tiger Bones. Just before that, we had The Elephant Song by Giles Giles and Fripp. And
Dolphins and Whales.
Whoops. Just before that by Stephen Jacobs. And that leads up to my large mammal expert, Anthony Marr. Anthony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound good.
Yeah, I'm just on my cell phone, so it may be not quite as good, but thank you for inviting me, Arnold.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Anthony, and you're on quite a tour right now to save the Bengal tiger.
That's one of the objectives that I would like to achieve, is to save the Bengal tiger. Yes, it is. They're certainly in a very dire strait, and we can only promise to do all we can. We can promise that we can save them, but we have to try.
Right. Now, maybe you can explain to our listeners, you know, where are the Bengal tigers and what is their habitat and how many there are and what is threatening them?
Okay. There used to be 8 subspecies of tigers in the world, but today they've been reduced to 5, actually about 4 only. The Bali tiger in Indonesia, the Javan tiger in Indonesia are gone. The Caspian tiger that used to inhabit, would you believe, places like Afghanistan, they've been completely wiped out.
Wow.
And the South China tiger has only about 20 or 30 left. So we are teetering on the brink in terms of the tigers. The other 4 are not doing well at all. But the Bengal tiger is probably the one that is relatively still savable, I would think, just because they have more numbers. There used to be about 80 to 100,000 tigers in India. The Bengal tiger lives in India, by the way.
Okay.
And, but because of unregulated trophy hunting of the tiger, usually by the British royalty when they were still ruling India, and the Indian Maharajas after that, and the British army officers, some of them killed, you know, many, many tigers each. One
right.
of them killed more than 1,000 tigers each.
Oh, my goodness.
And so by about the 1970s, they were reduced to only about 2,000 from about 80,000.
Mm.
So, and today they're about, I would say, a couple of thousand at most. And nobody knows because the census is not very accurate. And so it is, the habitat, of course, is under immense pressure due to human encroachment. So, and also poaching, because the Oriental countries are still using tiger parts as medicine, and the Europeans, some Europeans still want a tiger rug on the floor. So,
that's
you know,
right.
All in all.
Now, that's where you started. I noticed up in Vancouver, you first started looking into what products, bits of tigers were being used in.
Yes, that's right. Actually, it is totally illegal internationally speaking, because any endangered species cannot be internationally traded or imported or exported. But back in the 1990s, Canada did not have any internal law to forbid the sale of tiger parts.
Hmm.
So it is basically Canada was basically saying to the world that, you know, if you're smart enough to smuggle these tiger parts into our country, we'll let you sell them openly. So. As a result of my campaign in 1995, I went into the Chinatowns all over North America to do undercover to find out what they sell, where they sell what, and I then would invite media like yourself into Chinatown to document me openly buying these forbidden products, and it blew the lid off the entire trade in Canada and later in the United States, and the people got extremely upset about it, and they pressured the government, and within 4 months, which is lightning fast, the Canadian government, in response to my campaign, finally passed a law. So now these parts are not available anywhere.
Well, I suppose not knowingly, yeah.
But in North America, Chinatowns anyway. In the United States, the same. There was already a law, but it wasn't enforced very well. And when I confronted them and they said that you know, this is a very sensitive issue. It's ethnic sensitivity. We cannot be heavy-handed. And I said, well, look, I'm an ethnic person. I'm actually Chinese, of Chinese origin, and I would like you to crack down on my people to forbid them to use these products. And finally, it was done. So the last time I checked, there was none of these products were in sight, at least up the counter.
Right. So, yeah, even though they are obviously, it's still a lot of poaching because tigers, are, you know, as part from the habitat loss, they are being poached, I imagine.
Yeah, well, it is a very long-standing thing, you know. So there are 1.5 billion Chinese people in China. And, you know, even if just 0.001% of the people in China still use it, it is still a large number. And so other than that, I still had to go to the countries where the tigers live, meaning India, and do work in the tiger reserves, do work in the Indian urban enclaves where they smuggle tiger parts out of the country. And so I've done work in India as well. So that's the supply side. And the demand side is in North America, Chinatowns. I did not go to China to work on that because I am forbidden to go back to China because I was too outspoken during the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989. Oh. They said, if you come back to China, we'll arrest you at the point of entry. So I couldn't do work in China, but I did work in all the Chinatowns in North America. And I also went to India to work in three tiger reserves out of about 26 and for 5 years. And I had some results to prove, to show for it, but, you know, it is, nothing is enough to try to take these remaining tigers in the wild.
Well, that's it. You've gone undercover. You've really looked at it in every way. You've gone undercover in Chinatowns as well as to reserves. You've really seen the whole picture.
It's a pretty well complete picture, except for, you know, countries like China and so on, which still have demand. And it is actually very dangerous work to go undercover in India, not particularly in Chinatown, even though I've been threatened by people holding meat cleavers in Chinatown.
But wow.
In India, I was doing undercover and I found some sacks of tiger bone and tiger skins that are still moist with ants crawling on it.
Oh.
And I was posing as a Chinese buyer. But luckily for me, I was called into the bush, the tiger reserves in central India to catch some poachers. So I had to hand the job over to a Japanese guy, and he was killed within 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was lucky.
Whew. Yeah, I suppose when there's big money and, you know, people's livelihoods, they get nasty.
Yeah, that's right. You know, these people are so destitutely poor in the rural area that, you know, even though if you kill a tiger and cut it up into bits and pieces and sell it piecemeal, you can probably get $70,000-$80,000 out of it.
Wow.
But the people who actually kill the tigers, who are Indian villagers, they attempt it with $50 and they'll do it. $50 and a bottle of whiskey or something and they'll do it.
Wow. So again, it's that the inequality of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, that is not even the worst. The worst is habitat destruction. If the habitat is gone, then, of course, there is no wild tigers left to anywhere that can, you know, provide them with a livelihood. So, and the villages, their only fuel is wood. So after they've cut off all their own forests, to go into the tiger reserves to cut forests. So what I did was to introduce them to them alternative fuel sources such as solar cooking, biogas, and just do anything to get them off cutting wood. And I've been fairly successful in that as well.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, you can't just say you can't do it. You've got to give something else an alternative.
Yes, sir. That's right. And solar cooking is very, 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 you know, absolutely environmentally sound, and even biogas is sound because biogas is derived from cattle dung. Okay.
Right.
And India has so many cows, like, you know, 500 million cows.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there was no piece of land the size of India that can support that many cows, really. So they're all kind of skin and bone, but they do excrete. So the village people, they go and collect cow pies and they put it into a reaction chamber that I showed them, and then the thing comes out and they use this fuel. Otherwise, the methane is going to go into the atmosphere and contribute to global warming hugely. So.
Right. And also pollute water supplies and things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. oh, water supply. There is no river in India that I've seen that is not totally polluted.
Yeah.
Be it just, you know, way out in the boonies, it is still polluted. So. Mm.
Oh, what degradation. And the tigers need an actual forest, not as if they're roaming plains like lions, say. They need forest, don't they?
That's correct. Tigers are forest animals, lions are plains, grassland animals. And, you know, without a forest, the tigers can't survive. There's no way, because the lion's color fits a grassland, whereas the tiger's stripe pattern fits a forest. In a grassland, the tigers would stand up like a sore thumb. There's no way they can creep up on their prey. So if the forest gone, the tiger would be gone, that's for sure.
Right. I know, you know, that there was that film of where they took wolves away from Yosemite and what happened to the habitat because they took the larger predators away. What's happening out there in India with so few tigers now to the habitat, apart from the encroachment?
If you're asking me for a prognosis, I would say that the habitat will continue to decline. I was there I was most active in India in the late 1990s, and, you know, it's been 10 years since then, 12 years, and the habitat is said to have declined by about 25% since then. The number of tigers likewise. So if you sort of extend this trajectory into the future, then, you know, within a few decades more, there'll be zero. The amount of tiger habitat in India used to be vast. Western China used to be very good tiger habitat. The Caspian Sea region used to be. Of course, there was a Siberian tiger in Siberia in Russia.
Oh, yes.
But all of them are being, and the Sumatran tiger in Sumatra, which is a part of Indonesia. And Indonesia has already wiped out two of its tiger species out of three, the Bali and the Javan. And now they're on the way of wiping out the Sumatran tiger by not as much by directly killing them, but by logging their forest. And the forest demand comes from countries like Japan. So it is a very intricate network of destruction.
Indeed. So now you're going, tell us about the tour you're doing all around America and Canada.
This is my seventh tour. I call it the Compassion for Animals Road Expedition, or CARE Tour, Compassion for Animals Road Expedition. The past six were from, say, 25 states, in 3 months to about 43 states in seven and a half months. This one is about 40 states in 6.5 months. It just started in April the 1st, and we've already done and made speeches in Washington and Oregon and on media, and now I'm in California. And Northern California, I'll be spending about 10 days in Northern California and about 20 days in Southern California, and then I'll be moving east to Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Alabama, and then to Florida. From Florida, we move up the coast all the way up to Maine, and from Maine, we strike west again back to Vancouver. So that will take care of about 7 months.
Wow. Are you blogging or tweeting along the way at all?
Am I what? I'm sorry.
A blogging or tweeting along the way?
Yes, I am. In fact, I have already written 3 blogs up to this point. And I have it in my blog site, which is the same name as my second book, which is Homo Sapiens Save Your Earth. .blogspot.com. Homo Sapiens Save Your Earth. .blogspot.com.
Oh, great.
And I've been keeping a travel log all the way until I get back home in late October.
Oh, excellent. And what type of reaction are you getting so far from your audiences?
Well, the audience, of course, I mean, I've never come across anybody who doesn't admire the tiger. And usually I say to them at the end of my talks, you know, if we cannot even save the tiger, which is universally admired, what can we save?
Right.
And So hopefully this tour will sort of bring the American people into participating in the saving the tiger, because, you know, the tiger doesn't belong to India. The tiger doesn't belong to anybody, actually, but the tiger is a world treasure. I think that's the least anthropocentric thing I can say is a world treasure. And if we lose the tiger, it's a huge loss. It's an enormous loss to our younger generations. And we haven't even talked about global warming, which will impact on the tiger's habitat greatly as well. And
exactly.
That would be just... It is currently unimaginable what it would do, climate change, on these species. If it is as bad as the third extinction bout about 250 million years ago at the end of the Permian period, that one wiped out 75% of all land species and 95% of all marine species.
Wow.
So averaging 85% of all species were gone. And that one was caused by global warming as a result of... actually, that one was caused by the ejection of basically volcanic activities extruding a huge amount of greenhouse gases. Except this time, it's about the same, except the source of the greenhouse gases is not huge cracks in the ocean but or in the continent, but from chimneys and tailpipes.
Exactly.
So, and actually, the also the rear end of cows as well.
Oh.
In terms of methane. So, you know, methane is a very dangerous thing. Methane is about 70 times as powerful as carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas.
Mm.
So, and methane is sitting right now around the Arctic Circle.
Wow.
So if the Arctic warms up much more, well, already the methane is coming out from the melting permafrost and also coming up through the Arctic lakes, subarctic lakes, and... there was a whole bunch of frozen methane hydrate sitting on the continental shelf, ready to bubble up. As soon as the ocean gets warm enough, it will melt, and the methane will come out, and it will generate its own feedback loop.
Oh,
in other words, more methane will warm up the atmosphere much faster, releasing more methane. So once that happens, I call it the methane bomb has been detonated.
Right, and
it is a kind of a slow bomb that will take several decades to fully spend. But once it gets detonated, it is very hard to stop.
Wow, that's pretty scary, and it's all linked in, and that's the key.
I truly am very concerned about our younger generation. And not only would the temperature rise, it is in itself pretty hard to take. But you know, the ecology will change. And there will be enormous droughts that will precipitate. It's been predicted by the scientific community that the 21st century will be a century of drought. And China is already hit. Right now, southern China is hugely dry. Australia, of course, we all know the Amazon had a huge drought in 2005. The United States, Georgia and Southern California are two drought centers that will merge. I think there will be huge famines all over the place in the land, and even North America will have a food shortage situation.
Yeah, I think so. Well, thank you very much, Anthony Marr, and really good luck on your tour, and hopefully people back in.
May I give your audience a website to look at?
Oh, yes, please, yes.
The easiest one for them to remember would be myspace.com/my name, Anthony Marr, M-A-R-R. myspace.com/AnthonyMarr, M-A-R.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Anthony. And
thank you, Arnold.
We will speak to you very soon.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.